I'm Stacey Gross, and this is Two Moms Day Drinking. Katrina Davidson and her husband live in Honolulu, Hawaii, with their four children, because they are an Air Force family. In this episode, Katrina talks about joining Air Force, how she met her husband during a swinging evening of bowling, and the decision she's currently trying to make, which is whether or not to go back into service. Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Awesome. How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Doing well. Thank you. How are you loving Hawaii?
It's all right, but I miss seasons.
Yeah. My aunt and uncle are in Kona, and I love it there, but it's such a small little, it's like a little village almost.
Yeah.
Compared to, you're in Honolulu?
Yeah, we're on the big island.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the population wise.
Right. Yeah. You guys have like the skyscrapers and everything.
Yeah, and traffic everywhere.
Yeah, right. It's crazy. So how are you guys doing with the coronavirus thing?
We're pretty much, we've been told to shelter in place. So school's canceled till April 30th. They just started setting up remote learning stuff. They had a meeting with the school district. So by the end of this week, we have to let them know if we have internet access for all the kids. So
They just got
to buy another laptop.
Ooh, I know. And here it's hard because I think our poverty level, like 50% of our students are at or below poverty level. So they did a survey to see like who even has internet access and devices that they could use for distance learning, but it's not going to be good.
Yeah. And also there's a lot of blind spots, I think, in the service out there too, just because of the woods and everything.
Right. Yeah. See, I live up in Lander now. Yeah, there we have HughesNet, and that's all that's available, and you can't rely on it. So we're going to have to pick up like physical materials.
Yeah.
So, ugh. But nobody's sick in your house yet?
No. Moira, she's had a little bit of a cold, but she doesn't have a fever or anything else. It's just the usual stuff.
Yeah. I know everybody here, like I was at Walmart the other day and somebody was coughing in the aisle next to me and she looked at me. She's like, I don't have it.
Yes, it's just allergy season. It's not my fault.
I know. It's terrible. It's like we're all trying to defend ourselves to everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
So you wanted to talk about, you're trying to get back into the Air Force?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about how you got into the Air Force in the first place.
Pretty much, I didn't know what I wanted to do after college. Mm-hmm. And my brother had already joined the Air Force. Mm-hmm. And I figured, well, if I join the Air Force, I'll get paid to think about what I want to do if I eventually want to go to college.
Right.
And then they'll pay for my college. So might as well do something in the meantime.
Right. Did you like it? Did you have fun?
I did have a lot of fun. The problem was after I had my first child, Kara, and then I noticed there was an actual like shift in how I was being treated.
Really?
And some of the opportunities and everything that was happening. Yeah.
Like what? Can you talk about it or?
Yeah, I can. Not the specifics, but with the job that I had, because I was pregnant, I couldn't do a lot of the maintenance stuff. And you have to do certifications every 6 months.
Okay.
So I lost all my certifications. So they had to move me to an office job.
Yeah.
And then once I thought, you know, well, once it's all done, maybe they'll take me back. I can get the certifications going again. No, they just left me in the office.
Oh my
They gosh. Never brought me back up on the maintenance.
Oh my gosh. So what happened after that? Like after you had Kara and you were ready to come back, how'd they work that out?
At the time when I was pregnant, they actually, because this happens a lot in the Air Force, there's a lot of politics in high school drama, a lot more than you would think.
Right.
There's a lot of high school drama and stuff that goes on. I was basically used as a playing piece for some higher ups. They're like, oh, look, we're going to take this one female and we're going to put her in this somewhat high stress position, but it's really important. And if she succeeds, it makes us look really good.
Oh, wow.
So
you have a lot of pressure.
I got moved into control, which is basically where everybody would call in their maintenance and like doing all the weapons moves and everything, which the job itself wasn't bad, but it got boring really quickly. So it's like, okay, I want to get back to the maintenance because, you know, that's what I like doing.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, it's just like, no, you're here now. And it's like, well, this sucks.
This is crap.
Yeah. And it actually was kind of the beginning of me initially trying to get out of the Air Force because I wasn't being satisfied with the work I was doing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and that was back when I was still stationed in Barksdale. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Incirlik in Turkey.
Oh, wow.
And for a while, it was more the same. They kept shuffling me off to different office jobs. Mm-hmm. And then finally, near the end, they're like, okay, well, we've run out of people. We have to get people trained up. So they finally put me back through maintenance. And they even said, after everything was done, the one tech sergeant, he didn't, I don't think he had a very high opinion of me at first, because he's like, oh, she's just lazy. She just sits in the office all the time. Right. He said he noticed that I seemed better when I was doing the maintenance, mm-hmm. because I was actually doing work. And then inevitably, like, I think 2 months after I finally got certified and everything, I got pregnant with Ruben.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, now I'm just getting out of the Air Force, because yeah. I've already seen what happens and I'm not doing that again.
Right. So you got out. Were you married already?
Yes.
Or were you? Okay. So, and yeah. He's in the Air Force?
Yeah, we're still in the Air Force. That's why we're here right now, because he's okay. Still active duty.
Okay. And so he was out. And were you like stay at home? Did you stay at home with the kids?
I did at first. Mm-hmm. And then after Turkey, we were stationed at, he was stationed at a Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And once we got everything settled there, he was taking some college classes. And I was like, well, you know, I should probably go see if I can do some college classes. Mm-hmm. So I originally tried to apply to the University of New Mexico, mm-hmm. but they were like, hey, you know, you're missing all this stuff. So Patrick told me, he's like, well, why don't you try the community college first? Because it's a lot less strict and you can get in, then you can jump over.
Right.
So it's like, okay. And mm-hmm. I got in right away. So it's like, okay, I guess I'm doing college now.
What did you go to school for?
I went to get an English degree.
Okay.
So I got my associate's in English, which mm-hmm. actually helped with the English program at the Community College of Central New Mexico. So it's like CCCNM.
Oh, wow.
I had a lot of problem where people were going into the English course, but they were just taking enough classes to get credit to go to UNM. They weren't actually graduating.
Yeah.
So I was among like the first 10 to get an actual degree from the community college in English. So it helped out their English department.
Yeah. Yeah. And how did you feel that education was? Were you happy with it?
I was actually, because just all the stuff I'd learned from the Air Force, I was a lot more disciplined than I had been if I would have gone to college straight out of high school, because I was a terrible student in high school.
Were you? I always felt like you were one of the really, really smart kids.
No, I was terrible with doing homework. Like I was the one in homeroom just going like,
I gotta get
and then
this
it's
stuff.
Like, I'll do the homework for the next period in the period before it's due. So then it just kept going and going.
Yep. I know. I never took books home. I always did it in like study hall, or I do it in the period before.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you got your associates from the community mm-hmm. college, and then did you switch over?
Yes. I went straight over to the University in Mexico. And When I graduated from the community college, I was pregnant with Gabriel. Mm-hmm. So I did one semester at UNM, and then I had to take a semester off because mm-hmm. he was born in June. Mm-hmm. And then I went right back into it in August and kept rolling along with it.
Was that a lot of work? You had one and then you had a brand new baby and then going straight?
Yeah, it was. A lot of my first semester back, I still had 3 in-class classes, but there was some distance learning I was doing too. Mm-hmm. So that way I could be at home with him for some of that. And I got really good at nursing and typing at the same time.
Yeah. And that's that is a skill to do anything while nursing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I got really, really good at it.
Right? Yeah. I had a hard time with breastfeeding. I wasn't able to produce anything. So I was really bummed out about that. But
yeah, I was never able to breastfeed Kara because she just wouldn't latch on. We had issues. Mm-hmm. I ended up pumping with her for like 9 months. Mm-hmm. And then finally I was just like, no,
we're all done.
You're going
here.
To formula. I'm done.
Yeah.
But then with Ruben, because I wasn't working anymore, I had more time with it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, because I'd already had one. So with that, it picked up. And then the other ones, they didn't have such a problem with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kara, it was just like, I have no idea what I'm doing and nothing's doing what's supposed to do.
It's so funny. They tell you it's so natural and it's like the most natural thing. And the baby knows exactly what to do. And so will you.
Nobody knows what they're doing.
Inaccurate. My kids, I had one that was like a vampire baby and then one that would just fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it was rough.
Oh yeah.
So what did you want to do with your degree when you got finished? Did you want to teach or?
I wanted to do technical writing. Oh, okay. Because a lot of businesses and stuff, they're really good at, you know, creating their products and or like science places. They're good at doing the science, but they're not always good at explaining to other people what it is that they're doing. And I was going to get in and help out with that.
Yeah. That's an amazing niche field too. You can make a lot of money at that freelancing because no one does it.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. A lot of people, because mine, my actual degree is English professional studies. Like it's not centered in any of literature stuff. So.
Right. Oh, that's cool.
A lot of people, they hear English and they're just like, oh, did you study poetry and stuff?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
No, I'm not a fan of poetry.
Yeah. Me neither.
I'm absolute crap at writing.
Really?
I can write a lot, but poetry is nine.
I suck at poetry. I originally went for psych because I took AP psych and AP English, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. I liked psych better. So I went for psych and then I switched over to writing. But the professor who convinced me to switch to a writing degree was a poet. And I was like, he was like, you should write poetry. And I'm like, I don't know. No.
Yeah. It's not the same.
No. Angry, creative nonfiction about crazy life. That's all I want to write. So you finished up at University of New Mexico.
Yes. And I actually had a double major.
Oh, okay.
Because the way a lot of my Air Force education, that counted for all the lower level classes I had to do. Mm-hmm. So by the time I got to UNM, literally all I needed were like 300 level plus.
Nice.
So I was like, well, I was going to minor in history, but it's the same amount of work if I just double major in both. So it's like, and plus all the fun classes are 300 plus for history.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like there was one that was all about apocalypse studies.
Ooh.
Like
that's
studying
cool.
different cultures and, you know, their versions of the end of the world. It was my first big research paper too.
Yeah.
That I had to write. So
I bet
was
that
really
was
happy with that one.
Oh, I bet that was really cool.
Oh yeah.
So when you finished up with University of New Mexico, then what was next for you?
For that, when I graduated UNM, I was pregnant with Moira. So I made a joke with my husband, Patrick. I said, well, now I can never get my master's because we're done after this kid. So I can only seem to graduate college when I'm pregnant.
Right.
So it's like, well, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'll just be at a bachelor's forever, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But no, I was going to take some time off. And then there's Sandia National Labs out in New Mexico. Like they had some offices around Albuquerque and stuff. I was going to see about either applying with them or applying to the base to see if they had any need for technical writers.
Mm-hmm.
But then just, I think it was like a month or two after Moira was born, it's like, nope, we're going to Hawaii.
So it's happening.
Like, oh, okay. I guess I'm not getting a job there right now.
Yeah. With all the moving, where else? I mean, you were in Turkey, New Mexico, and now you're in Hawaii. Have you lived anywhere else?
We actually met when we were both stationed in Louisiana. That was our first base for both of us. And I guess we went to the same tech school at the same time, but we never met each other because our training squadrons had like a rivalry going on.
Oh,
where you're not supposed to like that squadron or whatever.
Ooh.
So it's like, whatever. Okay.
Intrigue. So what's been your favorite place to live then?
Honestly, just the weather in Hawaii has been nice for just going out and being able to do things. But basically, since I joined the Air Force, we haven't lived anywhere that's had four proper seasons.
Yeah.
So
I would
like to be back somewhere that has proper seasons.
Yeah. Virginia would be nice. I always say I want a place in Alaska for the summer and then a place in Virginia for the winter.
Yeah.
Because you get all your seasons, but it's mild both ways.
Yeah. We were looking at if this whole getting back into the Air Force thing doesn't work out, we're looking possibly at somewhere in like South Central Pennsylvania because it's equidistant between my parents and his parents.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah. Mine still live in Warren and his live in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, between the two of them, you know, if we're like around Gettysburg or something like that.
Right. You'd be able to just hop up or hop down.
Yeah. Although I was looking at a Phoenixville, which is closer to Philadelphia, but they're one of the few places that still has a nuclear power plant working nearby.
Ooh.
And it has its contract renewed. So I could always potentially work there just because of my background.
Right.
With what I did in the Air Force. So
yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
So what led you to want to get back into the Air Force then?
A lot of it was mostly for the benefits for the kids. Like we have the dental, we have the healthcare, and also you know, it's a steady source of income, mm-hmm. honestly, you know,
right.
Because yeah. you don't get paid by the hour. So if you have to work extra, you're screwed. But, mm-hmm. you know, something like this, you know, even if you can't always go into work all the time, you're still bringing in a steady paycheck.
Right, right. Yeah, that would be nice. I honestly, looking back, I think that the military would have been really good for me, but I was a bad kid in high school and I'll never join the military. But I think it would have been really good for me.
Yeah, it was good for me. It taught me a lot of folk, because in high school, I never had any focus. Like I was lazy. Mm-hmm. I happened to test just well enough to pass, but yeah. I didn't have any motivation to do stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. Joining the military, you know, that's why I did so well. When I went to college and did all that, I had like 4.0 GPA. Right. I graduated UNM with actually a 4.03.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think my lowest class, and I was disappointed. My lowest grade while I was there was a B+, and it was in Viking mythology.
Ah,
which really disappointed me.
Yeah,
we had a on loan professor from like Berkeley, mm-hmm. and he did not handle the class well. There were a lot of complaints about him.
Yeah, that's a bummer. That sounds like a cool class too. See,
it was amazing.
Yeah, I wanted to go back and teach. That's what I wanted to get my master's and eventually my PhD and just teach at the college level. Cause I'm like, I want to do this all the time. Yeah. I just love being on a campus and talking about literature and all that. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And then I had twins and that changed everything.
Yeah. It'll do that.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't sound like it did that for you though. You were able to still kind of keep things going and roll with it.
Yeah. That was part of the problem that we've had since we come to Hawaii. Is because when we were in New Mexico, there were a whole bunch of people that I used to work with that had gotten out of the military, but still lived in the area. Mm-hmm. So when we moved out there, I had like a built-in friend base already. Yeah. Here, I don't know anybody.
Right.
And I don't play the military spouse game particularly well.
Yeah.
So it's harder to go out and meet people.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm not the type to go out and look for friend groups or look for mommy groups. I find myself pretty isolated sometimes. And especially when I would stay at home, that was my biggest complaint. I felt super, super isolated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But some of the boys, they both do Cub Scouts. So that's been getting me out. And I've, you know, we don't do stuff outside of Scouts with them, but you know, it's somebody to talk to that's an adult, so
yeah, that helps.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah, sometimes I'd be like, let's go to the store just so I can see someone over the age of 3.
Yes.
So where are you in the process now of getting back into the Air Force?
I took the test to get back in, mm-hmm. and I got the results from that, and the recruiter that I'm talking to, he said the test results are really, really good, mm-hmm. but because I don't have a science-based college degree, they're not looking for that this year.
Oh.
So the earliest that they might get back to me is in January.
Oh, wow.
That gives me plenty of time in the meantime to get back in shape.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I still have to do the medical processing and all that stuff. So
right.
I can.
How hard was that? I'm like exhausted just thinking about like a boot camp experience.
It wasn't too bad. It's honestly, sometimes I kind of miss it just because you don't have to think about anything. They pretty much just, you know, it's like, we provide, you know, you don't have to worry about food. You don't have to worry about all this stuff. You just do what we tell you to do when we tell you to do it and you'll be fine. It's like, it's relaxing every now and then to just go and be like, I don't have to worry about anything.
I feel like that sounds amazing to me right now. Mm-hmm. If I weren't 36, I'd be like, go ahead.
I lost my train. Apparently my thought just went, nope, we're out. So
yeah, we're gone. What's been your favorite thing about being in the military other than like that structure and the sort of, you can just kind of ease into it and let them just sort of create the structure for you. Is there anything?
Camaraderie with a lot of the people that you meet, especially like in the same career field. Cause you all go through, you know, everybody goes through the same boot camp mm-hmm. for the Air Force. But then you also go through your tech schools for your jobs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the people you're working with, they've been through the same schooling and everything and all that. So you already have shared experiences to build off of. And then it's like, and we're all in the Air Force. There's that culture. So you all have that in common.
Right.
So it's a lot easier to make friends, honestly, just because, you know, you're around a whole bunch of people, but they're from vastly different backgrounds that you never would have found them.
That's
if you had
cool.
to go look for them yourself.
Yeah.
Like some of the friends I made, it's like, I never would have hung out with some of you.
Yeah.
You know, if I just had to look at you and be like, yeah, I want to be friends with that person.
Right.
But, you know, you get to know them just by working with them. And then you're like, hey, these people aren't so bad.
This is kind of cool. That would be nice to have somebody, to just be thrown in with a group of people and to have the shared experiences, but to be sort of forced to
meet friends.
Yeah. How did you meet your husband then?
We actually met through mutual friends at the base bowling alley.
Ooh, nice.
Because we were under 21 at the time, and Barksdale is in Shreveport, Louisiana. And if you're under 21, when we were there, there was not a lot to do because everything's like casinos and bars and everything. So a lot of us went bowling a lot of the time. And I almost didn't meet him.
Really?
Because, yeah, when I went that night, I'd gotten a ride with one of my other friends, and I was mad at him for something. I don't even remember. I was just grumpy. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I just live across the bridge. I might just leave and walk home. I don't need him to give me a ride back.
Right.
But then I was like, no, I'm all the way here and I don't feel like walking that far. So I might as well stay.
Yeah.
And there were some other people that we hadn't played with before, but you know, they were in the lane next to us. Mm-hmm. And this one guy, he kept coming over and he kept like sitting next to me and he was like talking.
Flirting.
I was like, okay, yeah, I'll talk back, whatever. And about halfway through one of the games, one of the other guys, he like nudged me a little bit and he's like, you know, he likes you, right?
Aww.
I was like, what?
I know. Yeah. I never pick up on it either.
Yeah. So we finished up and we were walking back to the truck and he comes running up behind me all of a sudden. And he's like, can I have your number?
Ooh.
And I was thinking, no one has ever asked me for my number before.
No.
So what are the odds he'll actually call me? So you know what? Whatever. Sure.
Yeah. Sure,
so I gave him my number and he called me up the very next day.
Wow. So he was super interested.
Oh yeah. He was. Yeah. It was pretty much him. I didn't initiate at all.
Right. And did you feel the same way? Like, did you immediately hit it off with him?
I mostly had guy friends at the time. So I was just like, oh, hey, another guy for the group. Okay, whatever. Right. That's fine. But then, you know, after a couple phone calls and everything, he's like, oh,
I think.
Yeah, sure. Let's roll with it. Why not? Yeah. Let's see what happens.
How long did it take you guys to get married?
Let's see. I met him. It was actually his birthday because that was one of the things that he opened with. Like, he was like, you know, it's my birthday today. Right. And I was like, okay, happy birthday.
Right.
But that was in March. Mm-hmm. And then in July, he got deployed for a little bit to Diego Garcia, which is this tiny little island shaped like a boot out in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Ooh.
It's owned by the British.
Okay.
But he was out there for a couple months and then he came back. And then November of that year is when he actually proposed.
Aw.
And I felt so bad. thinking back on, I feel bad because he did this whole thing. Like, he took me to this nice steak restaurant that was in town. And I told him once when we were in a movie, they always have like the ads sometimes for local places. Mm-hmm. There's an ad for a rose garden. And I said, hey, I'd like to go there one day. That looks interesting. Mm-hmm. He took me to the rose garden.
Aw.
And it was at night and they already had Christmas lights up because it was just after Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. So we were walking through that. And at the very end, there was this little plaza with like a fountain that was turned off and there was nobody around. Mm-hmm. And I kept trying to walk and he kept stopping. It's like, why are we stopping? What are you doing?
Why are you impeding my progress?
And he got down on one knee and he opened his little box and he was like, marry me?
Aww.
And I looked at him and said, I have to think about it.
So I need to consider this.
Yeah. But no, I got back to him the next day. I didn't leave him on the hook forever. Like the next morning I went over, like, hey, can I see the ring again? And he showed me and I just took it out and put it on. Went, yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do this.
But he'd actually been telling some of his friends that he actually wanted to propose to me way back in July, like before he deployed. And his friends told him, no,
just wait.
You will scare her off if you do that. Just give it some time.
Yeah.
Because his parents, I think they got engaged after like a week.
Oh wow.
And they're still together.
That's awesome though. Sometimes so you just
with
know.
Them with them it just works out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's I think cool. He was expecting that. It was like, it doesn't always work like that.
That's not typical. That's not representative of what most people do.
Yeah. But yeah, he proposed in November 2003, but we didn't get married until May of 2005.
Oh wow. So you guys just had a long engagement.
Yeah, just because there was a lot of planning stuff to do and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up not even planning most of it, because right before it, I got deployed to Diego Garcia, and I actually came back like 2 weeks before the wedding.
Really?
Yeah, because we went out a month early to relieve the group that was already there so they could actually have Christmas with their families. But we were under the understanding that we would be relieved early. And then afterwards they went, oh no, we never promised you that.
Ooh, cheating.
I was like, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, this is not what I signed up for.
Yeah. So then I got back to, you know, we got back from deployment. Normally you get like some time off. I spent the week that I was supposed to have off. I went back in to keep my certifications up.
Ooh,
because it was like, otherwise they're going to expire while I'm gone my honeymoon.
Yeah, that's
and
not
I'm
good.
And I'm not going through certification again, because certification, you know, just the skill check, that's fine. Recertifications are a nightmare.
Yeah.
So it's just like, no, I'm doing it now.
Yeah. Let's get this over with. So who planned the wedding for you then? Like, who did all of the...
Pretty much my mom.
Really?
Like, she, yeah. I told her, you know, generally what I wanted. And then she'd be like, hey, do you want this color or this color? And I was like, just go with that one. It's fine with me.
So you were kind of like, you weren't one of the, like, Bridezilla brides?
Oh, no, no. I didn't have time for it, honestly. Yeah. I wasn't even there.
Yeah. You showed up and you're like, let's do this. I'm here.
Yeah, just like, you know, I went to get fitted for the dress and... Yeah, there wasn't even like a cake testing or a menu meeting or anything. I just was like, hey, I've got the dress, everything else, you know, as long as I'm married at the end of the day, I don't care what happens. Okay. Just get it done.
Yeah. That's awesome though. That's kind of nice because you didn't have to worry about anything. You just like left it up to somebody and show up. I feel like that would be like the way to go.
It was, you know, there was like no stress. It was just like, I'm here, I'm ready.
Yeah. Did you have a lot of people?
We did. My mom did invite a lot of people, but a lot, because I got married in Warren, you know, and it was at the church that I'd always gone to growing up. So there were a lot of people that had been there, you know, they'd known me since I was born. So it's like, yeah, it's fine.
It's cool.
It's okay.
And then how long after you got married, did you have your first kid?
I got pregnant with Kara about 2 months after our first year anniversary.
Okay.
Because And we did it that way because I remembered reading something where it's like, you should at least have 1 year before you have your first kid, just so you get to know your spouse as a person.
Everything feels completely differently once you're married. Like, it just doesn't feel the same. So
yeah,
that's cool.
But I took that literally. So right on our anniversary, it's like, okay, I'm done with birth control.
All right, let's do this next.
Let's make it happen.
Yep. And was it easy? Did you have any issues or?
Not with Kara. With Ruben, we actually had, it took about a year and a half.
Really?
With Ruben.
Yeah.
But a lot of that was probably because I was in Turkey and I was stressed out.
Yeah.
So if my body was just like, no,
this is not,
we will not allow it.
We will let you know when we're ready.
Yeah.
Did you always know that you wanted to have like multiple children?
Yeah. I actually always envisioned four.
Really?
But I always thought that it would be like three boys and a girl and the girl would be the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, you know, have all the big brothers protecting her.
Right.
And all that stuff. So, you know, I got two of each and a girl is still the youngest. So
there you go.
It still kind of works out.
That's cool. That's cool. Did you always like kids when you were a kid? Like when you were younger?
I tended to relate to them better just because I was so awkward with people my own age.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
Kids were less judgy, honestly. Yeah. So
kids always
they had all the cool new toys. That
they did.
So it's like, I want to play with this stuff. Yes, I'll babysit for you.
Yeah, cool. Kids always could tell that I was intimidated by them. Like they could read my emotions.
They could sense fear.
Yeah, they could sense the fear and they would exploit it. And so I was super awkward too, but I just dealt with it in a very different way.
Mm-hmm. And everybody does.
Yeah, yeah. I just isolated myself. But so you had no, like the transition to parenting, was it awkward for you? Was it everything you expected? Yeah.
A bit of it was pretty awkward because I only got 6 weeks off of, that was one thing, the Air Force, they gave me 6 weeks off, but I guess because I had a C-section, I was supposed to get eight and they didn't tell me that.
Oh.
And also the hospital that I went to, they didn't give me the proper after care. Advice, how you're not supposed to lift anything heavier than your child for so long. So it took me about 3 months before I finally stopped hurting, like whenever I lifted my arm above my head. Like I didn't get that pulling sensation anymore.
Yeah. C-sections.
But then when Ruben came along, it was like, I know what to do this time and what not to do. Plus they actually told me better. Mm-hmm. So it was a much faster recovery.
Yeah. I was shocked when I had mine and I had never even babysat a baby. And then they come along and they're like, okay, just sign this sheet of paper that says that you promise not to shake them. And here you go. Here's two human beings. And I'm like,
what?
There should be a background check. I don't feel prepared for this.
Yeah.
So was your mom able to help you or anything?
She was. She came down and stayed with me for the first, I want to say, 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
But she came down a little bit before because with Cara and Ruben, I went into labor naturally. Mm-hmm. Well, it started on its own, but then I couldn't actually do it.
Right.
So it's like, oh, C-section time.
Yeah.
But, and then of course, by the time Gabriel came along, it's like, well, you've already had two C-sections, but the doctor, he actually like checked and I basically have like anti-baby bone spikes around my pelvis.
Nice. So
any baby that's like bigger than 6 pounds is not coming out.
So it's like an American Gladiator course, basically. Like,
basically, yeah. And none shall pass. So
right.
After that, it's just like, no, we'll just schedule you. It's like, oh, that's right. A bit easier. I don't have to just wait around. I know exactly when stuff's going to happen now. So
that's always nice. Scheduled C-sections are not a bad thing, I don't think.
No, especially out of necessity. And, you know, I already had two other kids. So it's like knowing exactly when it's going to happen, you know, allowed me to arrange for my mom to fly out so she could help watch them. So it made everything a lot smoother, honestly.
Yeah. So you had help then, like when you had one kid already and now you're having your second, your third, you had someone to come in.
Yeah, with Ruben, I wasn't in Turkey anymore. I got out and I was in Warren.
Oh, nice.
To have him. So yeah, Cara was born in Louisiana. Ruben was born in Pennsylvania. And then Gabriel and Moyer were both born in Albuquerque.
Okay, cool. Yeah. What, was there anything that you were like, this is really difficult? Or did it just kind of come naturally for you?
A lot of it, like, you know, there was a whole breastfeeding thing. Mm-hmm, yeah. I had no idea what to, you know, Cara wasn't cooperating with that. So that was a little frustrating.
Yeah.
I had to learn how to change diapers. Like I never even practiced. Like, luckily, I guess Patrick had, or he got advice from somebody because he picked it up like a champ and took care of it. He taught me how to do it. So
that's cool. That's cool.
So finally I got better at that. He's still better at swaddling than I am though.
Really?
Like, he gets them like tight baby burritos.
Burritos.
He's always loose on some end. I can never do it. But no, he tucks them in. I still don't know how he does it because I'll do exactly what he does. And they're always like, no, we're free.
Yeah. Yeah. Did they like to be swaddled? I had one that loved it and one that hated it.
They did when Patrick did it. I guess mine, they could sense it was loose. It's like, it's not tight enough. So it's stupid. We don't want it.
They were like, you're not confident in this. I don't like it.
we can sense it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of them did. Part of the problem with Cara though was because I was still on mid shift, which was 11 at night to 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
So, and then she would have to stay with, you know, she had to be looked after while I actually slept during the day. Mm-hmm. So for a while, I would only see Cara for like 4 or 5 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
Just because of the work and sleep schedule. And that was when Patrick was, he got deployed 2 months after she was born.
Oh, wow.
So he was gone for a couple months.
Yeah.
And then he came back. I felt kind of bad for him because he came back and he's still like supporting her neck and everything. He's like, no, dude, she can hold it up now.
We're past this,
she can
do
a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she's not so droppy now. You can, you know, she's got some life now.
She's got some muscular tone.
Yeah.
Was it hard for him to leave?
I think it was. Yeah. But, you know, with the Air Force, that's one of the things, you know, they tell you to go. And for the most part, you have to go. Mm-hmm. And by that point, you know, I'd gotten a handle on what I was doing and I was settling back into the work routine and everything. So I was like, no, it's cool. You go. I've got this.
I got this. We're good. That's cool. What for you, like, do you follow a lot of the social media stuff? Like, is there any of the big issues that people get all up in arms about? Is there anything that you feel really strongly about? Or
I cannot stand anti-vaxxers and like the alternative medicine stuff. Like, that's actually what I did my history thesis on, was a study of the anti-vaccination movement.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I can a little bit. Yeah, I'll try to remember what I... But basically, anti-vaccination... vaccination people, they've been around ever since the very first vaccines.
Really?
Like, there was the first, it was for smallpox, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And because it came from, it was developed from cowpox, everyone mm-hmm. thought that, you know, oh, if you get this injection, there's old, like, political cartoons of people, like, sprouting cows and, like, cow faces and stuff out of the injection site.
What?
It's like, you're putting, yeah, it's like, you're putting cowpox into us, we're gonna, you know, get all these terrible diseases and it doesn't work and it's unnatural and everything like that.
Yeah.
The only problem is now you get with social media and the internet is it's easier to find echo chambers mm-hmm. and find a whole bunch of like-minded people. So mm-hmm. they've always been around, just now they have, unfortunately, they have outlets where they can be more vocal.
Yeah.
And people unnecessarily give them more credit than they really should have.
Right.
And it's unfortunate, but it's, that's the world we live in now.
Yeah. I think with politics or anything that people feel really strongly about, I think the compulsion is to seek out sources that are going to confirm, you know, to really satisfy the confirmation bias that we all naturally have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I've always been pretty pro-vax. I know a few people who are anti-vax, and I mean, to each their own. But for us, we like our shots.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, I think one of the people that was in my class, he might've been at least a little bit anti-vax because we had to present our ideas to the class. So, you know, they could check in on the progress and everything. And he's like, so what, the government does this out of the goodness of their heart? And it's like, no, it's a cost-effective measure.
Yeah.
Because if you have, even if it's just children and like the elderly getting sick,
mm-hmm.
people that are capable of work have to take time off to take care of them.
Right.
So even if your working pool isn't sick directly, mm-hmm. they're still affected by it. So a healthy population is a working population.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, they do it because they want to be productive. It's not, mm-hmm. you know, some right. ulterior motive or mind control or...
The conspiracy theories fascinate me. And there's so many to do with coronavirus now too.
Oh yeah. The activated by 5G, all that stuff. And I think chemtrails have snuck in there too.
Really?
Yeah. I think
I'm
they're
fascinated.
Saying the chemtrails were used to deliver the particles that were then supplemented by vaccines and then activated by the 5G. It's...
Wow.
It goes deep.
It's fascinating. You see, conspiracy theories of any kind are fascinating to me, but, mm-hmm. and it's hard for me because I'm like, okay, yeah, like I can see where you're coming from. I don't believe it, but like, I'm fascinated. It's easy for me to go down the rabbit hole with you and maybe not believe it, but I'm like, oh, I see where your thinking comes from, you know?
Yeah.
It's always fascinating.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like researching mythology in a way. Mm-hmm. It's like, I want to see where these stories come from.
Yeah. I want to understand the thought process. And that's why I think I went into psych. I'm fascinated by human behavior and human thought and just the mm-hmm. way we tick. People are fascinating.
Yeah.
Has there been anything that's been difficult as a parent? Anything that you didn't expect to be difficult that was?
Probably with the boys, just because Ruben, he had now what we think was when he was a baby, we think he had a little bit of a hearing loss.
Oh, wow.
But it's corrected itself now, but basically he didn't get a lot of information for developing language. So he had a lot of trouble with like speaking and doing stuff like that. So he finally actually this year, he graduated speech therapy.
Oh, wow.
Like
cool.
He's up to where he's supposed to be, but he still goes for some behavioral stuff because mm-hmm. he still has trouble showing an appropriate emotional response to stuff.
Okay.
Like he'll overreact, or you know, it's like one little thing goes wrong and he just like shuts down and he tries running away. So
mm-hmm.
we're working on that now.
Yeah, that would be so frustrating. I know a lot of kiddos with speech issues have, you know, behavioral that go along with it, and how frustrating mm-hmm. it must be as a kid to not be able to express yourself, you know.
Yeah. Or you try and people just can't understand you.
Yeah.
It's like, no, listen, I'm telling you exactly what I want and you're not getting it.
Yeah. I feel like I have that problem with Harper. Harper is so much like me, and mm-hmm. she'll be like, you're not listening. And I'm like, oh, you're right. You're right. I'm not, but I'm trying to fix the problem. And before she even finishes speaking, I can't stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I'll do that with the younger two, just because. Mm-hmm. Just because it's like, we have a lot of people here. There's a lot to get done. We don't
We need to streamline this process.
Yeah, I need to work on slowing down and actually giving them the time to work through their thoughts.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, tell your dad about pickups, buddy.
I love it. I love it.
Hey, can you go get underwear on, please? Thank you, sir.
This is exactly like the conversations that I have at my house. Mine are like naked kids. I don't know why. They've always been like, the less clothes they have to have on, the better.
Yeah. And Ruben's gotten into the habit of, he likes to sleep without any clothes on. Mm-hmm. So I go in there in the morning for school to get him up, and he's like complete. He has the covers like up to his neck.
Yeah.
So that's his tell. It's like, I know you don't have anything on under there. Just
right.
I'm going to put your clothes on the edge of the bed. When I leave, come out, take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine are getting, they're both seven, and they're getting to the age now where they're getting too big to be running around with just underpants on. And I'm trying to explain to them like, this is inappropriate. I know it's really comfortable, but we need to stop this now.
Okay, go get, hey, can you go upstairs with your dad and your brother? Thank you, buddy.
No.
Ruben can have the Nintendo Switch today. It's okay.
Do they fight? Deers fight?
Oh, they do. Yeah. They fight. It's mostly the younger three that get out with each other. Kara, she just goes to her room and shuts the door, and she's like, no, I'm not dealing with this.
I'm not participating in this. Yeah.
Well, she just turned 13, so it's like we're getting into that stage.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not looking forward to teenagerhood. All right, how's it going so far?
So far it's not too bad. Yeah. She was actually, it's a lot easier to get a hold of her now because she got her own phone for Christmas just because we had the deal. Because Patrick upgraded my phone and he basically got her phone for free.
Right.
So it's like, surprise, you didn't ask for it, but here, a cell phone.
Was she like super excited about that?
Oh, she's not one to like jump up and down, but she did the whole like slow bring the hand up to your mouth, and like she started tearing up.
I thought that was awesome to watch.
She was really happy with it.
That's cool. Are their personalities all really different?
They are. Yeah, really? They're all pretty different. Kara, she's energetic, but she's shy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she meets new people and she's like, I don't really know you yet. But, you know, give her like 5-10 minutes. If she likes you, she'll warm up to you and then everything's fine.
Right.
Ruben will talk to anybody and everybody. We had to tell him his go-to phrase used to be to walk up to people and go, hi, I'm Ruben.
I love it.
It's like, okay. Not everybody needs to know your name, buddy, but I appreciate your enthusiasm.
Yeah, super excited about people.
Yeah. Gabriel, he just does what he wants, honestly. Gabriel's a bit insane sometimes, but he tempers it with being super cuddly afterwards. Aww, so he's very much, you know, he'll drive you crazy, but then afterwards he'll come up and be like, oh, I'm a little snuggle bug now. Mm-hmm. You can't stay mad at me.
Yep.
I love
that's you. My Juniper. Yep. I recognize that.
And then Moira she's starting to take after Gabriel a bit, which isn't necessarily the best thing.
We're watching it happen. Like,
Now she actually is she's probably the pushiest. Really? Out of all of them. But yeah, if she wants something, she'll figure out a way to try to get it.
Yeah. What's your parenting style like? Do you have like a specific parenting style, or do you kind of have to tailor it to each of them?
We tailor it to each of them pretty much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. I've never read an article. I don't even know if there's a name for the style. It's just kind of.
It is what it
is. Make sure they don't die.
That's my basic strategy too. That's my baseline. If I'm hitting that mark every day, then I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you like have anxiety over your parenting or how you're parenting, or do you like try to forecast what issues they might have or anything like that?
I have a tendency to make contingency plans. That's what I always call it.
Yeah.
Like usually every 3 months I start going through everything. It's like, okay, well, if this happens, what do you do? If this happens, what do you do? And I think part of that is just military life.
Yeah.
Just because of, you know, you have to keep in mind, you know, it's like, well, what if, you know, God forbid something happens to Patrick, you know, what would we be doing? Where would we go?
Yeah.
So there's always, the contingency plans going. So
mm-hmm. You seem pretty like well adjusted to it though. Like you don't seem like you get real stressed out or anxious or.
I've been getting really frustrated lately just really? Because I'm very much an introvert. So mm-hmm. I need the downtime away from everybody.
Yes.
And there's no getting away from them right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have been devoting after dinner time. I come to my computer and I do some writing stuff.
Nice.
And the kids know that. So, you know, it's like, you guys can watch YouTube, play mm-hmm. video games. That's fine. Just please mm-hmm. leave me alone for like an hour.
Give me my time.
So I can just get this writing stuff going. And they're like, okay, we get to play video games. We don't care.
That's cool that they buy into it. See, mine are they are not self-entertainers. So it can be difficult. Yeah. And I need a lot of breaks. Like I'm very much like that. I need mm-hmm. some time to just like recover from all of the interactions that I've had to deal with.
Oh yeah.
But it's hard to get mine to give me that space.
Yeah.
What kinds of things are they into? They have all different like activities and interests.
All of them are pretty much into Minecraft right now. Minecraft's a big one.
Yeah.
They like YouTube. Kara and Ruben both want to be YouTubers.
Yeah.
When they grow up. So it's like, well, you know, it's a lot of work and you have to learn video editing and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, if you're willing to put in the work, I'll help get started if that's what you really want.
Yeah.
So then Ruben's always asking me, he's like, do I need math to be a YouTuber? Like, yes, you need math to be a YouTuber, especially him because he's really good at it. That's like Ruben's one really strong thing.
Really?
He's not really good at, he's getting a lot better at the reading. His writing still needs a lot of work, but math, he nails it.
Like, does he?
Automatically.
Like Harper's that way. And I'm jealous because I never got math.
Yeah, it's not my thing. Luckily, it's Patrick's thing.
Yeah.
Like he's going to college. He's taking some online classes right now for an electrical engineering degree.
Oh, wow.
Just like a whole bunch of math. So.
Yeah.
And he gets so excited about it. He tries to share it with me and I just kind of space out like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember when we were flying to our honeymoon, he took a napkin. He was doing math on the plane. It's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm trying to calculate the airspeed and how fast we're going and when we should be arriving.
That's awesome.
And all this stuff is like, okay, I'm going to keep reading my book.
I'm going to read this because, that's all. Wow, that's cool, though. I never had a brain like that.
Yeah, so I'm actually glad that he's the math person because mm-hmm. that'll help later once they get into high school because I can help them. You know, I can read over their papers. I can help them with science. Mm-hmm. I basically got them covered on everything except math.
Except math. Yeah,
but
mine.
He's got that covered, so
that's good.
We should be okay.
Mine are on their own, man. They bring home their math homework now. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. I can write you an essay all about math, but I don't know anything about it. So
Patrick and I were both going to UNM, he was always saying, like, oh, you know, what's a good thing about taking math classes? You don't have to write papers.
Nice.
It's like, whatever. Shush. Like, you know, it's a nice thing about having to do this. I don't have to do a whole bunch of math problems.
Right. I know.
I just have to read.
I have like anxiety over math. Like if I'm expected to do math in my head and like if an interaction depends on it, I'm like, I can't even tolerate it.
Yeah.
I'll find any way to get out of it.
I've gotten a lot better at it than I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think part of it is just because. Yeah. Hold on. Train of thought. It left again.
No, you're fine.
I think part of it is just it being presented in a different way. Because
mm-hmm.
I think that's the whole reason I failed algebra too.
Yeah.
Is because teaching style did not match my learning style.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, like when I failed the final, I just told my parents like, hey, yeah, I failed. Mm-hmm. It's don't expect it. Like just be prepared. There's going to be a letter in the mail. Just don't worry about it. I've already accepted it.
I should have taken
applied. Like even in eighth grade, I got into the pre-algebra class that they had tested for.
Uh-huh.
And I dropped out of it because I was like,
screw this.
No, it's like, yeah, I know I tested and you say I'm smart enough to be here, but I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go.
Right. Yeah. I took applied math all through. But you know what was funny is like trigonometry and calculus, like it made complete sense to me, but they would show me algebra and I'd be like, this is like reading a different, I don't even understand what you're trying to accomplish here. It was weird.
It's like, why are you adding in the alphabet?
Right. Yeah. I don't like all these letters in my numbers. It's really stressing me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was one of the things I was worried about when I went to college that I had to take a math class.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I took one that was online. Was the one thing that I did do. And it was actually like practical math. Like it was calculating interest rates and bank stuff and things like that. There was a section on fractals that I just skipped over and faded out. I was just like,
I don't need to know.
Whatever. I have no idea what you're doing. let's just call it and go.
I would distract myself. I would be like, ooh, the word fractals is cool. Let's look up the history of the word fractals. Where does that come from? You know, I'd be like,
oh, I sometimes would. Yeah. Or I would have, that's why I have a lot of, I'm used to having a lot of different tabs open my computer at once. So I like listen to YouTube or have other stuff on like in the background while I'm doing something else, just because I'm used to it at this point. It's like, there's always noise. So it might as well be noise that I get to use.
Do you like struggle to like focus if there's not enough going on?
No, actually every now and then, you know, when it's actually like quiet, it's relieving.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, first, you know, there's always that initial, well, I hope they're all still alive.
Right.
But, you know, a quick walk around. It's like, okay, Moira's sleeping. They're all playing video games. Nobody's trying to smack each other.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a good time out. All right.
Yeah. I get nervous too. I'm like, what's wrong that it's so quiet? I don't
know. Yeah. Like it. It's like, it's suspicious when it goes like dead quiet in the house. Yeah. It's like something is afoot.
Something is wrong. I sense a disturbance in the force. Do you have any that are like super like you or super like Patrick?
Car is starting to act more like me with some of her mannerisms and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're actually starting to clash a little bit just because we know exactly how to get on each other's nerves.
Yeah.
But we usually work through it right away. But once again, the problem with both of us is we want to be the one that's heard. So especially with Kara, like I'll tell her something, she'll be like, yeah, but, and it's like, no, there's no buts in this conversation. I told you what you need to do. Now, please just hush and go do it.
Yeah. I have one negotiator. June is my, and she's, it's constant. Everything is a negotiation. And I just want to tear my hair out.
Yeah. And then we're trying to potty train Moira and she's just like, no.
Not interested.
I just don't want, we keep asking, it's like, don't you want to use the potty? You know, you're 3 and a half. Don't you want to use the potty? And she's just like, no.
Do not like, unfollow.
Like, oh, sweetie, I'm so close to being free from diapers. Please do this for me.
Yeah. Oh, I remember the day that, and mine were the exact same age. So like the day that they both learned how to hold their own bottles, like everything that they learned how to do, I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah. I don't have to do this anymore. Oh, yeah. Patrick actually was the one who started figuring out ways to jury-rig the bottles with them when they had them so he wouldn't like necessarily have to hold them the whole time. So, you know, he'd put them in the chair and he'd like fold up one of the burp claws and like angle it just so it's like, there, you got it. It's all you.
He's going to be an engineer too.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to when they're all grown up and out and you're kind of, you get to be mom but to adult kids?
Yeah. Although, but the way that their ages are, I might be a grandmother before I'm fully child-free. So just depends on what goes on with Kara.
Right.
But, you know, if she does or doesn't, you know, either way, she's having fun. She's gotten into drawing a lot more lately.
That's cool.
She really likes to draw.
That's cool. Do you hope that they go into the military or do you have any feelings on that?
If anything else, I would suggest the military just because, hey, you'll get your college paid for and you won't have to worry about student debt. So, you know, don't feel like you have to go to college right out of high school. You know, it's okay. Or, you know, even if you don't want to go into the military, just take like a year off.
Yeah.
Like, go do something. If you know what college you want to go to, go ahead and move into that state so that way you get the lower resident rate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's... have to do it, you know, you'll save some money.
Right. I think that's great advice myself. I wish I had taken some time, but I didn't know what else to do. And it was like, you need to make a decision right now. So, you know. But.
Yeah, I might have done okay with a year off, but then, you know, I probably never would have met Patrick and nothing else. You know, everything would have been completely different. So it worked out okay.
I think it always does. If I could, I'm the type that wants to try to control everything. And if I could just like quit trying to control it and roll with it, I think life would be a lot easier for me.
Yeah.
But
yeah, usually I try to keep them on schedule as much as I can. But luckily I'm not one of those people that if it goes off schedule, it's the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's convenient when it stays on schedule because makes everything so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish my life would be on a schedule. It never seems to be. Something's always cropping up out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, we had something happen on, what day? Today is Thursday, Tuesday. Right as I was about to make dinner, they're screaming from the backyard because Ruben, Gabriel, and Moira all went outside to play. Mm-hmm. And I hear screaming. And then Moira comes waltzing in. But it's like, okay, it's one of the boys. Kara opens the back door and then just stands on the porch staring at it.
Oh my God.
So it's like, well, that's no help.
Yeah.
So I go out. Gabriel's just kind of standing there looking at Ruben. Ruben's on the ground. Ooh. Screaming, and he's holding his left arm. He's like, I think I broke my arm.
Oh no.
And I was like, okay, well, get up, come inside, let's put a cold pack on and see how you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, it was just like, yeah, I gotta take him to the emergency room. And now is really not a good time to have to go.
Yeah, right.
Just because everything's so busy,
right?
So I take him in. Yeah, he basically has, it's not broke, he didn't break it, but he bent the bone.
Oh no.
So they had to
how's that even a thing that can happen?
I guess the analogy that they use that made the most sense, it's just kind of like when you have a green twig and mm-hmm. you bend it and then how it crumples up at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that.
Wow. That I had no idea that that could even happen.
I didn't either.
All the things you learn when you're a parent.
Oh yeah. So yeah, he said the hardest part was getting the bone set because they mm-hmm. still have to like push it back.
Right.
Into position. So, but he got that. He's got a cast, but he only has to have it for 3 weeks.
Oh, that's good.
It was an actual break. So,
right.
He's rocking a purple cast right now.
Nice.
He's got it in a sling.
I like it.
I didn't want to tell him though, because like you're missing out on the best part of having a cast, which is getting everybody to sign it.
Right.
And you can't see your friends right now.
I know. I never broke a bone, but I always wished I had because I was like, I want to walk around school with a Sharpie, but then probably everybody would have been like, you're weird, you know, like all the things on my cast would have been like, why are you talking to me?
Like, loser, go away. All the mean things. And then they're just there and you're looking at them like, this was a mistake.
Evidence.
Shouldn't have done this.
Right, right.
No, I've never broken anything either. I think maybe Patrick's broken his nose when he was younger. I don't remember. So it's a first for all of us.
Usually there's somebody who has some experience with a broken bone.
Yeah, not us though. But yeah, basically he told the story to the doctors and everything. What basically happened was he stood on top of the swing on the swing set and he decided he was going to jump off and do like, you know, some sick moves and then stick the landing. But he didn't take into account that the swing would move when he jumped.
Ooh.
So it just pitched him straight down. And then he ended all the stories with, I didn't stick the landing.
I didn't stick the landing. That's just the full explanation. Every time anybody asks,
it's like, what happened? I didn't stick the landing.
I love it. I love it. Do you have a so you've been working with kids, you've been in school with kids, and you've been kind of a stay-at-home mom for a little bit. Did you have a preference between those two? Or between those two?
I would like to get back to working, which is another part of trying to get back into the Air Force, just mm-hmm. because, you know, it's something I've done before, it's something I enjoyed, it's something I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was originally trying to go back as enlisted, mm-hmm. but I've been out for too long.
Okay.
So I can't get back because I think there's a cutoff.
Sorry.
I think there's a cutoff after 6 years and I've been out for 9.
Oh,
and if you want to go back enlisted, you have to have the job that you had before. Like they won't.
Oh.
There's no way. If you go back into the same branch of service, there's no way to just start over in that branch.
Oh, okay. So
it's like, I could go Army, Marines, or Navy, but.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
Like the Air Force, you know, the culture around the Air Force, I'm familiar with it.
Yeah.
But then they're like, well, you have a college degree. Why don't you try the officer thing? So I was like, okay.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Except that right off the bat, they were like, but you can't be a pilot or a navigator because you're too old.
Ah.
And it's like, fair enough. You know, I can understand. Plus for the pilot, I'm too short.
Oh, bummer.
I think like by an inch or two.
Oh man, that sucks.
Yeah, but I never really wanted to be a pilot anyway, but I was a bit bummed about the navigator because
mm-hmm.
that was always something that was kind of fun. It's like, you don't have to fly the plane, but you can mm-hmm. help the plane know where to go.
Yeah.
And that's always kind of fun. But
yeah,
I got my test results back for the Air Force test. And of course I get 95 in the navigator.
Yeah.
So it's like, but I can't do that. It's not fair.
It's not fair.
But I did get 99 the English. So that made me feel accomplished.
That's cool. So to go in as an officer then, like, what would that process be? Do you...
Basically, you, first of all, you have to have a college degree if you're going through... Well, there's ways to do it in college, but I'm not familiar with them. It's joining the ROTC.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Stuff like, there's specific classes you take while you're in college, while you're getting your degree at the same time. Mm-hmm. But the thing with that is, once you graduate, you're guaranteed a spot.
That's nice.
In the Air Force. Mm-hmm. With that, with my process, you know, you have to take a test and then you have to meet with a selection board.
Yeah.
And there's a whole interview process with that. And yeah, I can't meet with the board this year just because they're not looking for anyone that doesn't, they're looking specifically for science degrees. And because I don't have a science degree, it's like, oh, that's not fair.
Yeah.
But oh, well.
Yeah. So you're going to go back, like you said, in July.
Yeah, I'm going to try to. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. What's been your favorite thing about being a mom?
Favorite thing is honestly just hanging out with them and showing them things that I enjoy.
That's
like,
cool.
You know, like the stories. They're not real big readers or writers, which kind of hurts me a little bit inside.
Right. Yeah. Cause you're
a lot of like video games and stuff that they enjoy. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of them, you know, we can play together. They'll just be happy. Just sit there and watch me play some of them.
But yeah.
Now, of course, I have to pay more attention to the language and stuff.
Yeah, that's hard.
I don't play a lot of games. I have a lot of really like realistic gore anyway. Mm-hmm. But even with some of the ones that's more cartoony stuff.
Yeah.
They don't care so much because they know it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, it's a little worrying. The younger two, they'll laugh. They'll be like, oh, you got him, mommy. It's like,
yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
I got him.
My kids are playing on Minecraft and they're like, oh, here comes a pillager. I'm going to kill him. And I'm like, whoa, easy. Let's all just calm down. I never thought I would be that kind of mom because I was always like, yeah, I don't care. Screw it. I don't care. But now I'm like, easy, kids. We need to behave.
Well, to be fair, the pillagers will kill you if they get close enough.
That's true. So. I try to be understanding. I'm like, I should not have this much empathy, though, for like a Minecraft sheep. Why am I that concerned about the sheep? You know, and I'm like, why do I care so much? But yeah, it's weird watching them play. Yeah.
Cars, I understand if Car watches me play, I'm not allowed to try to kill horses to harvest leather.
Yeah.
So she's like, no, horsey. It's like, okay.
See, that would be
the horse alone.
That's me. I'm like, let's.
But she's fine with me chasing down the rabbits for trying to get the rabbit skin. Yeah, the rabbits are fine. Just because it's hard, the horses just stand there and take it. And it's like, it's so sad.
Big dumb animal.
It's like, why don't you want to live? Run. You're faster than I am. Go.
Yeah. Hurry and go. Aw. I can't think of any more questions that I have for you, but was there anything that I should have asked you and I didn't?
No, I'm pretty good with it.
Awesome. Yeah. This is a cool one. What advice would you give to yourself as a, if you could go back and say to your new mom self that first day with Kara, would you have any advice for yourself?
Stop lugging around full laundry baskets. It's going to hurt you later.
It's going to ruin everything. Yeah.
Like just relax, you know, take it easy, especially, you know, cause my mom was there. It's like, you don't have to go out and do that stuff. Like, you have help, use the help.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hard too sometimes.
Yeah. I still have trouble asking for help.
Mm-hmm. Same.
But I think Patrick's picked up on it. Like, he'll ask me more often now. It's like, are you okay? Yeah, I am. But I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. That's awesome. Cool. I think I have everything that I need.
Sweet.
I've got like 3 or 4 already in the works. But then yours will be coming out like 3 or 4 weeks on Patreon. Katrina reports being pretty happy with parenthood overall, and her current biggest concern is whether or not to go back into the Air Force, and if so, in what capacity and how she wants to go about that. If she could go back, she said, to when she had her first child, she would tell herself to accept help more easily. I completely get that struggle, and I think a lot of moms will as well. If you enjoyed what you heard, share it with a friend, and come back next week for another episode. The music for this podcast was written and produced by my father, Bob Gross, on his goddamn electric ukulele.
I'm Stacey Gross, and this has been Two Moms Day Drinking. See you next week.